Deep Singer Syndrome. This is the new shit. Deep Singer Syndrome. This is the new shit.
When you sing that, it sounds like you're singing Pocket Full of Sunshine, but Lead Singer Syndrome instead.
Maybe I am.
Maybe you are.
I don't know. Every melody has probably been used before in some way, shape, or form, you know?
Pocket Full of Sunshine, total banger, though. 100%.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot of bangers to talk about, I think. Well, here's the thing. Bangers we may or may not know about yet.
Yeah.
Right? We're talking about the... Oh, I should make a little thing on the bottom. I'm going to do that. We're going to make this one, which is going to say the most anticipated...
That's what we're doing here.
Albums of 2021. Boom.
Maybe beyond 2021 if we're wrong this year.
Right? Well, you know, the way things are going, I'm not sure where Michigan's at, Mike, but in Ontario... We had the highest cases yesterday. In Canada, actually. Maybe Ontario, too. But in Canada, highest cases we've ever had yesterday.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Michigan's getting pretty bad. I don't look at the numbers because that's a little anxiety-inducing. But the general vibe of the populace is getting pretty bad.
Yeah, it's getting bad. So who knows, like, most anticipated of 21. You know, I could change this to this. Maybe this is better. What do you think? 21/22?
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, unless these bands break up, who knows? Yeah, that might be a long-term effect of COVID. A lot of bands breaking up.
Honestly, yeah, who knows? But anyway, Mike, thanks for being here with me once again.
Hey, thanks for having me.
First things first, how's your Christmas? Did you do anything exciting at all?
Not really. I just did kind of with close family. Like, I went and saw my grandma and stuff like that. Nothing really too exciting, just kind of maintaining the status quo, right?
Yeah. No, I'd say for me, it was, definitely the most calm Christmas, ever for me. Just me and my, significant other, hanging out. We didn't even do gifts. We just had like a chill night. You know, we donated some stuff to the local women's shelter in lieu of gifts for each other. I think I mentioned that last week. And,
I don't know if we talked about it on the show.
Maybe not. But yeah, that's what I did. And it was really relaxing. And honestly, like, I'll take that every 39 years. Every 39 years, a relaxing Christmas. It's okay. But I did miss my family.
So I feel that.
Yeah. So I guess you probably have almost no plans for New Year's. I don't.
Not really. So I've got like one friend that we're kind of like quarantine buddies, and we see like our families and nobody else except for like me and this guy. And he lives like a block or two away from me. So we're probably just going to hang out, sit on the couch, listen to some music. That's about it.
There you go. That's cool.
Exactly.
That's cool. Yep. Well, the new year should bring tons of music, and you know, A lot of years, you know, you have kind of the cycle of bands. You kind of look historically at what they've done before and you say, oh, well, they put out a record every 2 years. So, you know, probably can expect one. I think with 2021, you may be able to expect, you know, even more music just because so many people were sitting around. You know, I don't know if that always induces a ton of creativity, but, you know, boredom can make music too and can make good music. So we'll see, you know, what's going to happen.
I honestly think it's going to be like a weird EPs and stuff like that from bands too, where it's just like, you know, we were sitting in quarantine. We've never made an acoustic record. We're a deathcore band. Let's just make an acoustic record, or like just weird stuff like that. I think we're going to get a lot of, and who knows, like we're probably going to see some bands. Like I wouldn't be surprised if we get like a Dance Gavin Dance record next year, because those guys are a quick turnaround. They released a record earlier this year. It's normally a 1.5 to 2 year cycle. Like, wouldn't blow my mind, honestly.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't either. Yeah, you bring up acoustic songs. I think Cancer Bats, they put out their first acoustic song of their career. You know, they've been a band for like, I don't know, 15 years at least. And yeah, their first acoustic song. So you're right. You never know what's going to happen. People are commenting on the shirt I'm wearing right now. Yes, it's a Silver Tooth shirt. Silver Tooth Lives. Let me just move the microphone out of the way. There you go. You can see me. And if you're listening to this on the podcast, you can come hang out with us on Twitch every Wednesday, because you can see our faces
and our cool shirts.
Yes.
You can't see the logo. It's a Being as an Ocean shirt.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Being as an
Good
Ocean.
Voice.
Could definitely see new music from them next year too.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. So no, I'm not wearing this Silver Tooth, shirt as any kind of underlying secret or anything. Sure? But it would be fun. It would be cool. I think half of Silvertooth, aka Beartooth, we can expect a new record from them. I think. Oh, yes, I think they've even said it's done.
Yeah, maybe. I think so too.
I've heard rumblings. So
Caleb does most of that himself.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if he's still doing it that way, but from what I recall, it's pretty much 90% Caleb, if not more. And then I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if that album's done. It's been a little while since Disease, and I know he's been teasing some stuff, I think, live on Twitch and Instagram and things like that. I've seen a couple teasers get posted around, and I don't know, should be a pretty good album.
Yeah. Yeah. Caleb, Caleb's over there now. I guess people are saying he's live on Twitch. Maybe at the end, remind me, we'll raid his channel if we're still around. So yeah, this is going to be a fun conversation. I've kind of, as always with This Is The New Shit, I've left this up to Mike a little bit, because he is the master. In Mike we trust. You can put that on the back of a dollar bill with his beautiful face. And so I'll add a few things, but for the most part, we're going to be going through Mike's top choices and the reasons why. Hope you got a pen and paper ready.
Yeah.
There's going to be lots to write down this time. No, but Mike will post his list on his Instagram like he always does. So let's get into, I guess, wherever you want to start, Mike. Let's just talk about some of these albums that we're anticipating.
Yeah, so basically, just to explain my logic a little bit before we kind of get into this. I have a big list that I put together every year of bands and their likelihood of putting out an album. I do things like, this album has actually been announced, and this album is very likely. They've said they're coming out with an album. They've already got a single or two out. I've got like likely, maybes, like things like that. I try to focus more on the announced albums and the things that I am very positive are going to be coming out. I know that there are a ton of albums that have been teased and announced, but I know there are also bands that a lot of people are looking for new music from, like, for example, Every Time I Die. This will be the only time I talk about Every Time I Die this show, because they have also said that they are not releasing the album until they can tour on it.
Oh, okay.
So if there's no tours in 2021, we'll see what happens, obviously. I don't expect to see that album.
Right.
Unless they have changed their minds, which I think when they originally said that, it was towards the beginning of quarantine, and now here we are, and they put out some singles for it too.
Yeah.
So they may have changed their minds, but I'm kind of going off what I know.
Yep.
So to start us off, I've just kind of got a random thrown together list. I think it's an alphabetical order of kind of my top 10.
Okay.
So there's no real rhyme or reason. It's not like I'm counting down to my most excited album. But I'm just going to start at the bottom, because that sounds more fun than starting alphabetically.
Started from the bottom, now we're here.
Exactly. Coming from Troy, Michigan, some of my hometown heroes, I've been seeing them in basements and stuff for a long time.
Yep.
We Came as Romans is going to be putting out a new album next year.
And they've announced this.
They've said new music coming in 2021.
Yep.
They've been in and out of the studio, according to Sharp Tone. All the news sources that I see is pointing towards an album, We Came as Romans. They've got the two singles out. I'm not sure if those are going to be included, because who knows?
Yep.
Some bands, they record two singles like this, especially as traumatic as recording those two singles were.
Right.
Coming back to it, I don't know if they're... I don't think they're going to have a different direction for the album, but I think that they might have a... they just recorded them too far apart, and they might not want to put them on the album. For those who maybe don't know We Came as Romans, I'm sure if you're a scene kid, you most likely do. They lost their lead vocalist, I think it was 2-3 years ago now. It's been a long time.
It was 2 years ago, yeah.
Yeah, Kyle Pavone, probably one of my favorite vocalists in the scene. Extremely distinctive voice. Whenever he was singing, you just know. The amount of electronic influences that he brought into the band were absolutely incredible. I don't think those are going to be missed on this album, because from what I have heard, they were actually able to get into his laptop. I know they were trying for a long time.
Oh, wow.
Take some of the EDM stuff that he was working on for side projects and other people and We Came as Romans. And I hope to see some of that used. So I don't think Kyle is going to be gone from this record or any record that this band puts out, if I'm being honest.
Wow. That's a cool thing. No, you're right. The last record they put out was in 2017. They haven't put out a record since Kyle passed. And he's a good friend of mine, and I went to the funeral. Those guys are my brothers, and it was a terrible, terrible thing, but it is great to see those guys bounce back and continue to, to make music. And I think, there's a lot left in the tank for sure. With everything they've been through, this could be the best record they've ever made. So I think it's an absolutely worthy thing to have on the most anticipated list.
I think it is definitely going to be the best record they've ever made, if not like second. I just know that the energy and the passion is going to be there from every member of this band. From what I've also heard, it's going to sound a little bit more like Crucible. For those who don't know, there is a side project from Dave Stevens and a couple of the other guys in the band called Crucible with no clean vocals. And it's kind of like a hardcore band, almost like hardcore metalcore. So I'm expecting this record to be heavy. I think it's going to be pretty good.
Okay.
Another quick thing. So for each one of these, I explained to Shane, I've got kind of like a wild call out where this is going to be a little fun for me. Right.
Right.
So I'm going to make a slightly outlandish statement, and we're going to see which ones come true. This is going to be something more specific than the band just releasing an album for the most part. So my wild call out for this We Came as Romans album is that it's going to have features from Jesse Barnett, Stick to Your Guns.
Okay.
And or Caleb Shomo from Beartooth.
Okay. I could see those happening. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know the bands have toured together. I know they're fairly close to my knowledge. I know a lot of those guys have come up around the same time, so we'll see what happens. It's kind of my wild guess.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. Next album.
So the next one I've got, this band also had kind of a vocal change. Their vocalist Mike Terry is out and Michael Barr is back into the band for Volumes.
Oh, yes. Yes. Right.
Michael Barr left Volumes, started pursuing his hip hop career. I think he's coming back, and from what I've seen on the singles that they've released, he's kind of bringing that experience that he gained from doing hip hop back into Volumes in a really, really good way. I think this album is going to be really fun, genty metalcore. It's going to be heavy. I just absolutely love this band. They've never kind of strayed me wrong, even when they had the vocalist change, everything like that. I've loved all three albums that they have. They always find some way to surprise me. Mm-hmm. I think their song Erased off their second album is probably one of the most beautiful metalcore songs ever written. Very gut-wrenching. It's good. I think Michael Barr being back is going to... Oh, Mike is still in the band. Sorry. Thank you, Twitch. I forget. There were like three people named Mike involved in that.
Yeah, I mean, it was the whole thing with Gus and Diego. Yeah. And Diego, I don't know those guys. Diego passed away. I remember that was a really kind of a strange situation I can't comment much on. I don't know much about it, but...
Yeah, I think his brother was the vocalist who left, and then 2 weeks later, the guitarist passed away.
Yeah.
Not sure what happened there, but... Real weird situation for the band, but it seems like they haven't let it stop them either. They're back to making music. They're already putting out singles and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So overall, I think this album's going to be really fun. All the singles kind of have a theme of kind of like technology taking over, infrastructure, things like that, which I think is always fun when bands take a specific kind of theme like that and apply it to the music.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a good record. My wild take is that it's going to have a feature from emo rapper Riley on it.
Emo rapper Riley. Okay.
I know that he and Michael Barr are really close, and I would not be surprised to see it, especially because the band has had other emo rappers kind of feature on their songs before.
All right.
So,
all right. I'm going to interject now before you get to the next one.
Yep.
Cause Mike doesn't usually do this, but he did send me his list, his big master sheet. And there's a couple bands on here that I don't know if they're highlighted, if we're going to talk about them, but there's one on here.
If it's highlighted, we're talking about it.
There's one on here that I really am interested about, and it's the band Tonight Alive, who we have toured with, Australian pop punk band, a little more on the pop side on some of their recent releases. took a hiatus. It was a bit strange what exactly was going on. They came back earlier this year and they did a show.
Yep.
It was like called Tonight Alive and Friends, and they played in Australia at the Unified Gathering Festival. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm not really sure what's going to happen, if we're going to get a record from them this year or not. Yep. Mike has a doubtful on his list, but I'd really like to hear your specific take on Tonight Alive and kind of where you see them at right now. Cause I think they're a really, really great band.
Mm-hmm. They're absolutely awesome. I love them all as people. I've met Jenna a few times now just through like meet and greets and stuff like that. And she's such a genuine, caring person.
She's the best.
Oh my God. And, if I remember what happened, the band kind of went on hiatus because they were having some mental health problems themselves, and they just wanted to kind of take a break. From what I've seen on social media, they've all been kind of living their lives and getting better emotionally and just kind of having fun and enjoying life. I haven't seen anything specific, like if they're what they're doing for work or whatever, but I know that they were playing some shows again this year. They played the one and they were scheduled to play a couple more like festivals and things like that. Obviously that didn't work out. Overall, I've been putting Tonight Alive on my list like this for the last 2 years now. Well, this is the third year.
right.
I'm always kind of like, this is one of my favorite pop punk bands ever. And I really, really, really just want them to put something out. And I think this year would be a great time for it. I feel like a lot of people could use their music in a good energy type of way. Do I think we're going to get it? No.
Okay. All right. What's next,
Mike? Maybe an EP.
Okay. What's next?
So next one I want to talk about, another band kind of close to me coming from Toledo, Ohio. And I know that they have already put out a single and they have said that there's new music coming in 2021, but it is The Plot and You.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's, you know, it's time for them. They've been in this, sort of, like underground, underrated place where like they're selling out all their shows, you know,
but they're
500 cap room shows. It's time for them to graduate to being that House of Blues band, that everyone goes and never sees and talks about. Landon is a rock star.
He's also putting out a solo album that he just announced yesterday at the beginning of the year, I think February.
Yeah, he's an enigma. He's a rock star. He's a dude, man. And I think that this is going to be, they're going to be the next big band. I've been saying this for a little while. If they want to be, I think it's their time to shine. So I think absolutely this is going to be, this could be a record that really turns heads.
Yeah. And I think that there were, tastes of that on their last record. I think it's an absolutely phenomenal record. Their last record, Dispose, I think it was 2018, maybe 2017. I can't remember, but absolutely incredible. There's some songs like The One You Loved, which is just kind of like a almost radio rocky banger, all the way to Disposable Fix, which is probably one of the most depressing songs I've ever heard come out of our scene.
That
song's gut wrenching, but overall, I just think that this band's ready to kind of come out and explode, just like you're saying. I think, and this is kind of going to go into my wild call, so I'm just going to say it, but I think this record is going to be more acoustic and ambient electronic than metalcore. I think a bunch of people aren't going to enjoy that. And I think a bunch more people are going to enjoy that because that's kind of the direction that they've slowly been going. And the single Repay is, I would almost say, like even lighter than most of the single or songs from their last record.
Yeah.
So I think that it's going to be another surprising change of pace. And I think it's going to work out really well for them.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a C1 here on your list too, and it's not highlighted, and I'm not sure why, because this obviously would be a big deal if it happened, but I do see that The Story So Far is on your list. This is obviously a band that, you know, a lot of people really care about. A lot of people really, really have embraced over their career. They've only gotten bigger and bigger and more, sorry to use the word from the last band we talked about, but enigmatic, you know? And who knows, right? Ever with these guys, exactly. What they're going to do. But I see it on the list. It's not something that you had as a talking point, but I do want, I still want your take on it, because that would be obviously a, you know, it's something that we talk about as one of the bigger records of the year.
Yep. So why I think this is likely. Two of the band members, I forget who, I believe the vocalist, and I can't recall his name, and the guitarist, had separate EP side projects come out last year.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the names. I know one of them is Same Side, and the other one is No Pressure, I want to say.
The chat will tell you.
Yeah.
they know.
and if chat doesn't, our mutual friend will.
There you go.
But I think that these guys really wanted to get back out and start making some music, and I think doing that is going to kind of make them, if they haven't already, miss making music in the story so far. I know that they're still putting out merch lines and things like that. I know that they're kind of on a weird album cycle where you never know, but it's also been, 3-4 years? I wouldn't be surprised if this was a record coming out later next year.
Okay.
More likely 22, I think, but it is on my list as like possible, I think I said. I don't remember.
Well, I just wanted to sneak that in there on everybody.
Hell yeah.
Got to keep you on your toes, Mike.
Oh, I love it.
All right. What's next?
So next, we've got a band that we have been talking about a lot lately. It is Spirit Box.
Oh yeah. And this, I'm glad we're going in not, you know, order, because then we'd have to wait a long time to talk about this record. But since we're going in reverse alphabetical order, apparently, we get to talk about this one early on, and that's nice. This is absolutely, for me, my number one most anticipated album. Can't wait to see what they do. Can't wait to see what they do when they're given, you know, like a full canvas, you know, to paint on, rather than just these singles and EPs they're throwing out, because I know that's going to give them even more, you know, room to experiment and more of a platform for Courtney, their singer, to shine.
Yeah. And I think that this band is set up so perfectly now that they're signed to Rise Records to put something out. I think that's what the move was for, is order to, well, it wasn't really a move, right? I think their record label got picked up by Rise, but I think Rise very possibly bought that record label or acquired them
because
just
of them.
For Spirit Box.
100%, sure.
I also found out a fun fact today. Their drummer apparently has a book written about him, which is kind of crazy. Apparently he's like a prodigy. I don't know, but he is really good.
all right.
But I just found that out today. That's why it popped in my head. But, I think this album is just going to destroy everything else metalcore based next year. I don't think.
How could it not, really? I mean, unless like they forget how to music,
we're going to be,
I doubt it. We're going to be in a great place.
I think this album is going to be awesome. I don't see it not coming out. It's time. I think the entire industry, the entire fan base knows that it's time and it needs to happen. And if it doesn't happen this year, I think the amount of momentum lost will be so detrimental than even if the album is just like, okay.
Right.
At this point. Cause it's like, are you just going to tease us forever at this point? Like, I don't know.
Right.
But my wild call for this record is that this album is going to chart in the Billboard 200 at 20 or higher.
Wow.
Yeah. I think their success from SiriusXM Liquid Octane, Octane and Liquid Metal. I think that they're absolutely insane underground fan base, but
not underground at all. Mainstream fan base, right?
Yeah. It's so mainstream at this point, between like how much conversation I see about them on Reddit, Facebook groups, literally anywhere you look, if there's something mentioned about Spirit Box, there's 20 other people commenting about how awesome it is.
Well, you know, sorry to interrupt you for a second. When Courtney did the podcast, she was already on my radar, and I wanted to get her on the show. But it was like 2 days leading up to the podcast, some Spirit Box fan group, they all bombarded my email, and they sent me like No lie. Like 25, 30 emails. Like, yeah. Can we get Courtney on the show? Can we go, like, you know what I mean? Like the fan base, mm-hmm. the street team, if you will, is legit. And it wasn't like they were sending them out. These are just people doing this on their own accord because they mm-hmm. love this band so much. And I think you're 100% right. I mean, a top 20, I think would be surprising for a debut full length.
That's why it's a wild take.
Right.
It is going to chart on the top 200. My call is that it's 20 or higher.
We will see. I mean, it's not out of the question. You think about all, you know, the radio play, Rise Records, mm-hmm. the hype. It's really going to depend on how the record gets rolled out and when, you know, if they're mm-hmm. able to be on the road, if they're able to, you know, move some units,
that'll help.
That would help too. If the record comes out and we're still not back on the road or they're not, then mm-hmm. probably not. Probably mm-hmm. like maybe a top 100. Maybe it's hard to say, man. It's a weird world right now.
I think this has
the
setup for it though. There's such a, what's the word I want to use? Unique band, I guess. They've got so many unique elements to them, right? You've got these songs like Constance, which I think will draw in a lot of people who are like, hey, I don't like the super heavy music, but I really like this song, so I'm going to get the album. And then the people who are like, yo, Holy Roller is the only song that I lift to at the gym. And they're going to get that record too. And I think it's kind of like a perfect storm brewing for a really high debut album.
Yep. I mean, the band has a lot of versatility, you know, with her being able to just like sing as well as anybody, as well as scream. I mean, they can do anything they want. We'll see. What's mm-hmm. next, Mike?
What is next? So this is a band that I absolutely love.
I know.
They put out their album in 2019 called Relationships. We are talking about Shrezzers.
Yes. Not Brazzers, Shrezzers.
Their original name was Shredding Brazzers, and they were told that you have to change their name or something like that, so they became Shrezzers.
Okay, so tell me what it is about this band that, you know, you just keep plugging away at them, you keep like getting excited about everything they do, and this is like, I want people to keep in mind here, how many records did you say you listened to last year, Mike, in 2020?
So I had 750 between albums and debuts on my total list.
So that's
2020.
Literally two full albums a day that Mike listened to. So if Mike is excited about something, there's a reason. Okay. So talk to me about this band once again, Shrezzers. Why you're so excited about them, and then what can we can expect from them?
So Shrezzers has this weird thing, and I don't know how to describe it. But it's kind of similar to Bill Murray, where it's just the right amount of meme culture with just the right amount of talent and flashiness and just the right amount of like pop music sensibility.
Right.
And these guys can just write. I don't know what it is, but whenever they put something out, it is an earworm. They have this crazy unique thing where they've got a full-time saxophonist in the band. He's also one of the vocalists, but he plays saxophone solos on almost every song.
Yeah.
They're kind of like jokey band, but like lyrically it's super heavy hitting stuff. The vocalist, I don't know how they found a vocalist that's almost better than the guy who left the band originally earlier this year.
Yeah.
Everything about this band, I think that it's just so fun. Like it's got kind of like the Dance Gavin Dance noodly guitars, right? But whereas Dance Gavin Dance sometimes is flashy just for the sake of flashy, I think this band is just kind of different in that when they know when to use the flash and when to kind of like stay in the background a little bit, but it's still fun. I just absolutely love this band. I can't talk about them enough. If you also want to get excited for this record, listen to their last album, Relationships, and their singles Noodles and Phoenix. I know they're working on music right now.
All right.
They are absolutely incredible.
And what's the hot take for this one?
The hot take for this one, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but I have Matteo Gelsomino, the ex-vocalist of Novelists, is going to feature on a track.
Okay.
I think would be fun.
All right.
Shrezzers is a Russian band. Novelists is a French band. I think that their styles and what Matteo is doing on his solo work would really play in well with Schrezzers, and I think that would be fun.
Yeah, France, Russia, same thing.
Close enough. It's all Europe.
That's the most American thing you've ever said, Mike. I love it.
All right, next one. So this is a band that I had to show you today.
Yeah, you did show me this band today. We talked about them before, I think last week on the best singles. Yep. But yeah, go ahead, Mike.
So this is a band called Rivals. They are absolutely amazing. They're kind of like an alternative post-hardcore. Like, they like to draw that line. They have a couple singles out now, one called Lavenders, one called Fake Rich, featuring Elijah Witt of Cane Hill. They're putting out another song, I don't know the name of it, on the 8th. Because of these rapid singles coming out, I think this album is going to come sooner rather than later. This band's been around since like 2014. I think they're really hitting their stride.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. How do I describe them? Like, if you're a fan of like Against the Current and you're waiting for new Against the Current music, this is perfect for you.
Yeah. Well, what struck me right away when you played this for me, literally just 45 minutes ago, right before we were getting started, I really felt like the vocalist, what's her name?
Kaylee, I want to say.
Okay. Her voice is very unique. It doesn't sound like really like anyone else. It's got distinctiveness to it. It's got sort of just a character to it that you don't always hear, which to me, I think is really great and really important, because as much as like, sure, it's like great to have, you know, like there's people like Hayley Williams that like, obviously they're amazing singers and they sound amazing, but then there's all the other people that sound like Hayley Williams. And, you know, I feel like that just kind of gets you lumped into this pile of like, okay, another girl band. And I hate that shit, but it happens. But I think that they're going to really be able to escape this with the way, what she brings to the table vocally, which I find really impressive. And they kind of walk this line where I think that they're going to kind of, a lot of younger people are going to like them. They've got like this sort of like hip hop,
swagger almost to them.
Yeah, exactly. That's a little bit different. So I could see this band being a big band too, within, you know, a year and a half, 2 years.
Mm-hmm. And I can't wait for it. My wild call for this album is that this album is going to have a feature from either Tillian Pearson or Rory Rodriguez from Dayseeker.
That would be very big. Very, very big.
I think that Tillian and Rory both kind of, to me, seem like they have a good pulse on the scene as well, from seeing some of the bands that they have featured on. And I think they are kind of another good eye for talent, and that it wouldn't surprise me to see them on a smaller band like this, kind of A, helping out, and B, just making some great music.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to interject another band right here, because they're my favorite band of all time. And Mike didn't have them highlighted, but I have to talk about them. NOFX, a band that for me, one of the most important punk bands of my life. I know their catalog like the back of my hand. I've seen the band play probably well over 100 times. And this is really exciting for me. I don't know if you heard anything about this release, Mike, but it was supposed to be a double album.
Really? Our cursed double albums.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thing. It's not going to be now. So it went from double album, which NOFX has never done before, to a single album. And the reason is really actually kind of funny. So Fat Mike, he's born in 1967, so I'm not sure how old that makes him. You know, he's in his 50s now.
Yeah.
He is very good friends with Matt Sanders, a.k.a. M. Shadows of Avenged Sevenfold.
Interesting.
It's a bit of an unlikely friendship, but they're really tight. And he played the album. So the album's done. He told me this. That he played the album for M. Shadows. And M. Shadows said, dude, it's good, but it would be really good if you just made it one album instead of two.
Yep.
Which every double album ever, you could say that about. Mm-hmm. It's just hard for any artist to kind of wrap their head around, well, first of all, what's good and what's not good, and then separate yourself and your ego, right? So this record is going to come out I'm excited about it. If it was strong enough to be a double and now it's going to be into a single album, mm-hmm. that's going to be cool. And I also heard they're doing interesting things like where like songs will go into each other.
That's cool.
You know, like the same composition. I don't know, like stuff like that, that is really interesting. And you can always count on NoFX for something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm. And this is a band that I've been getting kind of more into, especially with like the whole Frank Turner EP and mm-hmm. just generally like 2019, I was never really big on NoFX. Like I think I knew one song or two songs maybe, but
there's a generational gap between me and Mike. This is why this is good, because I'm learning about stuff. He's learning about stuff. We go back mm-hmm. and forth a little bit, you know?
But 2019 at 25th Warped, NoFX was the headliner the second day out in California.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. that was just an amazing time. I've told the story a couple times. I won't tell it anymore, but that just really kind of brought some light to the band to me. And I've been slowly working my way through back catalog and listening and things like that. And people be like, oh, you need to listen to this NoFX song, this NoFX song. Everybody has a very strong opinions about what NoFX is good and what NoFX is bad. But
yeah, I do.
I'm really kind of getting into it, and this is an album I'm excited for.
All right. Great.
All right. So this next one, this is the only one on my top 10 or 10, I guess, that I want to talk about that is announced. And this is Holding Absence. They have announced their album, The Greatest Mistake of My Life, comes out in February. I am so excited for this band.
They've been absent for a little while, so this is great.
2 years. they put out a 2-song EP earlier this year, Gravity and Birdcage. Those won't be on the album. And they have a single out called Beyond Belief, which is probably one of my favorite songs this year. Wasn't included in singles because it's on an album next year. We'll talk about it then. But this band is so criminally underrated.
Yeah.
I literally think this band is better Architects. And
oh,
I'm willing to die on that hill.
That's a hill. But, that's a big hill.
Yeah. But emotionally, they're just so good at writing lyrics. I think if you look at this single, Beyond Belief, it's just absolutely so good. And if the rest of the album is on par with that, it's going to be on almost everybody's top 10 lists, I think.
Yeah.
It's just going to be great.
We're talking about a second album. Mm-hmm. You know,
very important.
It's going to be the make or break.
100%.
It is. And I think that, are they from the UK, this band? I'm just making sure I'm not talking about a different band. I get my metalcore mixed up.
So
we've talked about it a million times. It's the, mm-hmm. it's going to be the make or break album number 2. You know, they have a strong, it's a self-titled debut record that's strong.
Yep.
A lot of people are hearing about this band right now. That's the way it works. You know, they're hearing about them because people like you, Mike Howell, are freaking out about them. And here we go. So it's going to come down to this. There's going to be a lot of pressure. They've had some time. And mm-hmm. if the new single is any indication, they're going to be just fine.
If anything, they've gotten better than their strong debut album. And I'm real worried for everybody else putting out albums next year. This thing is going to be insanely good. My wild call for it. I think, speaking of Architects, that Architects and Holding Absence are going to have an end of year USA tour.
Okay.
That's my call.
Okay.
Both of them are putting out albums next year.
Yeah.
It's not looking like touring in the USA is going to happen until fall or winter next year. So I think that it would be the perfect time for two UK boys to join up and have a banging tour.
Ugh, man, the tour, that touring thing is,
yeah, we'll see.
We will see. I'm going to interject one that I'm very surprised you didn't talk about. We talked about very early on in the podcast just for a second, mm-hmm. and that's Every Time I Die. You know, yep. You mentioned that they put out some singles. People are loving them, and they're a band that's you know, always been very consistent and also. You know, willing to do some experimentation, a little bit of changing with their sound. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for a new ETID record. I mean, it's coming, right? I mean, unless the touring thing doesn't happen, like we just talked about.
Yep. I think this is a band that always manages to surprise me. I've kind of been really hot and really cold on this band. And sometimes that even changes as I listen to the album, right? There's some songs that I just love and some I don't. I think that if these two singles they put out are an indication, I'm going to just kind of love this whole album. I'm very excited for it. They've been trending more and more positively for me the longer that they've been a band. I think they're really kind of, I hate to use the word maturing, but I think that's what's going on, and finding their sound.
Yeah.
And I think some bands definitely take longer than others with that, and I can't wait to hear this record. Hopefully it comes out.
I mean, I hope so too. I think it will. You know, honestly, like I just don't see a band like Every Time I Die sitting on it too long.
Yeah.
No matter what happens, you know, and I don't know. I mean, I get where they're coming from, you know. I mean, Every Time I Die, they're like the ultimate road dogs, always have been. Mm-hmm. You know, they make a majority, if not, I mean, a vast majority of money touring. So
they
you
end
know.
Up on some cool tours too. Like I was just reminiscing with a friend, talking the other day, and I was like, one of the last shows, like 2019 was like oddly Every Time I Die, Mastodon and Coheed and Cambria. Like that was a weird tour, but
it
always works. Like for some odd reason, I think Every Time I Die can almost fit on any bill. They can fit with the more seen bands and they can kind of still hang up and throw punches with the heavier, kind of more classic mainstream rock dudes.
Yeah. I mean, I see they don't tend to tour so much with the mainstream, like the bands that have the casual fans. Mm-hmm. They tend to be packaged up with the bands with the real rabid fans.
Yeah.
And usually those fans, they know about Every Time I Die. And if they don't, they're going to, you know, in a hurry. 100%. And that I think is a good mentality, a good strategy when you're finding, you know, trying to tour with bands, because I'm sure, and I don't have ETID's tour history in front of me, but I'm sure at some point they did one of those tours where they toured with some big, you know, what's Chris call them, butt rock bands, and probably nobody cared, because that happens a lot. You know, you end up going on and playing in an amphitheater at 5:30 in the summer day, still light outside, no one's there yet, no one gives a shit, sounds like shit.
Sun's beaming down on you, so you don't even have like your light show.
No, nothing. 25 minutes, no one cares, no one can find your merch, and if they do, you have to price match, and your shirts are $50, and it's a nightmare. So, you know, I'm way off track right now, but Every Time I Die, always exciting when they put out a record. Let's move on to a band I know that you're probably going to talk about for 25 to 30 minutes because you love this band so much.
I will try to limit myself to about five.
Okay.
But this band comes at no surprise. They have two singles out this year. I think they have finally found their groove with the new vocalist, as if they haven't already. They put out two albums with him, but we're going to be talking about Era. Probably one of the best metalcore bands, I think, that are out there right now. Definitely kind of a metalcore band with a rabid cult following, very similar to Currents and some other metalcore bands coming up right now. I think it's time for this band to explode and become the new kind of August Burns Red that they've always been destined to be. JT is starting to do clean vocals and screams. Jesse is still doing clean vocals and shredding on guitar. And I think that they have improved a lot of the complaints that I had on the last album, Neon, as far as production quality go. And I think that this record is going to be an absolute home run. And if it's not, I am absolutely amazed.
Right.
The only thing is, well, actually not the only thing is, because I forgot they're no longer signed to Sumerian. So we might actually get this record in a decent amount of time.
That's exactly what I was going to say. What is their label situation?
They're on UNFD, your label mates now.
Right. And I did know that. We talked about that before. Because, you know, record labels can, you know, they can do a number on a band. And, you know, how many records has Era put out? A lot.
Four
albums. And they've always been under this, you know, blanket somehow where people don't know people. A lot of people know they're there, but a lot of people just don't see them for some reason. Mm-hmm. And it's almost a very similar situation that Pierce the Veil was in for their first couple albums. And then when they got onto Fearless Records, something clicked. Maybe it would have clicked anyway. And maybe Era would have clicked anyway too. But sometimes that's all it takes, is a little bit of a shakeup and for a band to reach their new audience. And I'm excited too, man. I think you're right. You know, I think that sometimes the bands that take a little while longer to get cooking, in terms of popularity, they're the ones that they make that fire record, and everyone knows it's coming. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows it's going to be there.
So kind of my wild call with this one, I think Marcus Bridge from Northline is going to feature on a song.
I could definitely see that.
So, last year there was an absolutely insane tour. Absolutely insane. And it was in 400 and 500 cap rooms across the United States. And it was Era and Northlane co-headlining with Currents and Crystal Lake.
Yeah.
All four of those bands, you will never be able to see in a venue that small again, unless it's maybe Crystal Lake headlining. All four of those bands, you're never going to be able to do that again. Sorry, you missed your chance. But I really think Era out of those four is just ready and primed to take off and become one of those 1,000 to 1,500 cap room headliners. If not direct support for August Burns Red or a lot of the bigger bands going around right now, like even maybe a Bring Me the Horizon or a Day to Remember or something like that.
Maybe. Like, maybe.
They're going to blow up.
Maybe.
Love this band. If you haven't listened to Era, listen to Drift. It is probably one of my favorite albums of all time.
All right, let's go next. I'm ready.
Go next. So this is the last one in my big kind of list. Well, like my 10, right?
This is Mike's favorite. Mike's favorites. We got some, we know we're missing some things. We're going to talk about them too, but they were just, and we're an hour in and we're just getting to the last of this. So we got lots more to talk about. Stay tuned.
So this one is, it just worked like that because we went in reverse order, but this is actually probably my most anticipated album next year. If it's not your most anticipated album,
I understand. Oh, no. I love this band.
I understand if it's not your most anticipated, but you're wrong. You're wrong, wrong, wrong. It's John Broke Up.
Hell yeah, it is.
This band is so off the walls.
Yeah.
Every single way, the way that they write, the way that they play their instruments, the way they sing, the way they write lyrics, everything.
Have you seen their music videos?
Yeah. Like their aesthetic, their music videos. Like I refer to their music videos as the Don Broco cinematic universe because it's just buck wild what's going on.
Yep.
I expect some great music videos coming. I expect some great singles. I've been watching the studio content that they've been putting out. They're currently just running around trying to scare each other as often as possible, which is just hilarious to see. Like these guys, you watch videos of them doing anything and they're just like, you can tell that they're like the best friends in the world and they just happen to be in a band together.
Right.
And everybody in their families is involved. And I don't know what the magic is behind this band.
Well,
everything they do is just incredible.
Part of the magic is Rob, the singer.
Oh, 100%.
I have to give him full marks, full credit. You know, not just for his physique, which is great, by the way.
Oh, God tier.
But the guy is not only just incredible, incredibly funny, incredibly charismatic, hell of a nice guy too. Introduced himself to me. Came up to me and he's just a sweetheart on Warped Tour a couple years ago whenever they were on. And that's when I first found out about the band. And yeah, I've just loved them ever since. I am absolutely with you that this is going to be a super, super exciting record. This is still like we're near certain this is going to happen, but we don't know for sure, right?
Well, they're in the studio recording right
now. Okay.
So if this album doesn't come out next year and they're recording in December, that'd be really weird. I think that's a strange timetable, but I would say probably
especially with them making it public that they're recording. You know, if they weren't sure if it's like, okay, if we can't go back out or whatever, like E-Tid is saying, then, you know, then we would not expect it, but mm-hmm. we can't expect the record. No time frame, no idea what it'll sound like, but we can only never imagine it's going to be probably off the wall. Maybe at first it could be one of those records that like blows our minds, but I think over time it will be genius. That's just kind of what they do. That's their brand.
100%. And this band is been ramping up too, because they've got 3 albums out now. I forget the name of their first album, but then Automatic is like, you listen to that and you're like, this is a pretty good album, like solid 90 out of 100. Then you listen to Technology and you're like, wow, this is like a 95-96 out of 100. Like, what are they going to do on this next one? And with the 2 singles that they put out that aren't going to be on the album, I'm 100% sure they came out in 2019.
Yep.
Half Man, Half God and Action, which had like the 4 people featuring on it, which was just wild. Like, I don't expect them to put out a bad record. This album is just, I'm going to call it right now, it's probably going to be in my top 3 next year if it comes out.
All right, that's a great pick.
That's not my wild call though, real quick. I'm gonna say for sure there's going to be a European tour with Enter Shikari headlining and Don Broco opening up.
You mean a UK tour?
UK, Europe, wherever they go.
Isn't Don Broco bigger than Shikari?
I think they're both like maybe a co-headliner.
Somebody here in the chat is called White Duck. White Duck 1999 and an extra 9 says saw them at Wembley. Were they headlining Wembley? Because if they were, I mean, that's probably the same as Shikari would do. Maybe a co-bill? I'm not sure. Yeah. But I know Don Broco is massive in the UK. So I'm really excited, too, for this. And if that tour happens, Mike, you're going, right?
We'll see.
No. If that tour happens, we are going to fundraise you a plane ticket, okay? We're going to, just like the shower head, okay? This is something that you need.
We'll see what happens.
Okay, we'll figure it out. All right, Mike. Well, now we're going to talk about everything else. And I'm going to the top of the list here. Okay. Well, near the top of the list. And this is the band that I really want to discuss, because obviously everybody is familiar with this band if you're into any sort of post-hardcore rock music in general at this point. And this is A Day to Remember, who has put out a whole whack of singles. We thought the record was going to come out over a year ago, or about a year ago. I remember it was wintertime. Yep. I saw them play in Michigan. And like the album was...
Year.
Yeah, November. The album was supposed to be coming. They announced the title and everything. And now here we are. Do we have a date? Do we know what's happening? But the album is coming out.
February or March? I can't remember. I think March, actually, now I'm thinking about it.
Now, with this record, I mean, the singles have been, for some people, disappointing. For other people, they've called them bangers. So this is going to be a really, really interesting record to see what's going to happen with, you know, the hype has waned.
It has. I think as a whole, this record it's going to get talked about a lot. It's A Day to Remember. That's what's going to happen.
Right.
I think this record is going to be the MGK of next year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It is going to straight
never mind what I said about the hype then.
I think it's going to straight up divide the scene. I think there's going to be long-term A Day to Remember fans who still love this, and kind of like casual scene fans who they're like, I like the bigger bands. They're going to love it. And I think that there's people who are going to hate it. And they're going to say, this is the worst thing A Day to Remember has ever done. Why are you putting out this record? I don't know exactly where I'm going to fall yet. I haven't been super impressed with the singles.
Doesn't always mean anything.
A Day to Remember has always kind of been a album band for me, right? I like their albums more than I like listening to an individual song or two.
Yeah, I can agree with that. I can agree with that too. And some of these songs, like, you know, people are talking about all the different ones, Degenerates and Mind Reader, and Brick Wall was the latest one. And like a lot of these songs, you know, they, you know, the first time you're like, okay, like it takes you a second because there's a little bit of a difference, you know, whether it's the production.
It's very octane-y. If that makes sense.
Well, I know what you mean. I mean, maybe that's just because they're played on Octane all the time. But I know what you mean. It's just a different kind of production value than when we come to expect. But then I find like these songs kind of grow with you and they stick with you. Mm-hmm. So maybe I think this album could be actually a lot better than people are saying, and I'm here for it.
And I would like to be surprised too, right?
Yep.
Like I'm leveling expectations for myself so that if it is bad, I'm not hurt too much. But if it is good, then I'm excited and happy. We'll still talk about it in March or February, whenever it comes out, I'm sure. It's going to be good. So I've got to talk about two bands that I am 95% sure we're going to hear new music from next year. And they didn't make my list just because I don't know how much music we're getting from them, because it's going to be EPs. And
okay.
I don't know which one we want to talk about first, but I'm going to go with Bill Murray. Because we're going to get new Bill Murray music. Guaranteed. Okay. It's going to happen. We just talked about his EP, Aggie Pocket. It's incredible. Still on my not daily listening, but like often rotation. Are you excited for new Bill Murray?
Of course I am. I mean, every time. I mean, well, to be honest, I guess I really only knew about him since Wet Milk came out. Probably mm-hmm. was when I first heard about him. So there was, and then Aggie Pocket is... was on my EP list of the year, number one EP of the year for me. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited and I don't know. I mean, we have a whole year, over a year for him to put out an EP. It will almost certainly happen. Mm-hmm. And someone's saying he has a new project now. I don't know about
this. He does. So I was going to bring this up too. I forget the name of it. It's like Cherub or something like that. He's been putting it out on the socials and stuff like that. And there's a couple teasers out. It's going to be more slow and vibey, I guess. So kind of more like the electronic elements that he likes to use. Less guitar is kind of the vibe I'm getting. But yeah. I think that's going to be really fun too. I don't know who he's working on that project. I know he's working with somebody else, but I'm not sure who it is off the top of my head. So that should be really good. And then the other band who's going to be most likely putting out an EP or two that we need to talk about. Bring Me the Horizon.
Oh, I mean, you think? Oh, yeah. I think that could be less than 50-50. I mean, this just came out.
It's supposed to be part of a 4 EP series.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I forgot about that. Yeah. So mm-hmm. you're probably right. It'll be interesting to see what they do, very interesting.
Yep. And this one actually has a wild take from me too. With Bring Me the Horizon, at least. I think that after this EP, that they are going to get an even crazier feature for the next one.
Oh, they had some good ones lately.
I'm putting my money on Corey Taylor.
Sure.
Wild take. I'm shooting my shot. We'll see what happens.
Sure. I could see. Yeah, I could see that. 100%. Mm-hmm. That would be a really interesting one. I feel like they tend to go. Maybe even a little more outside the box than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like I could see it being something weirder. Like I'm going to come back to it before this episode's over. I'll give you my prediction.
So they go out of the box so much that is it not weirder if they stay in the box a little bit at this point?
Maybe. I mean, Baby Metal and Amy Lee, and then they had Rozelle. The rapper from the late 90s with Danny Filth.
Yep.
Those were all like random, but all awesome.
They've been wild in with that shit. Youngblood,
Yeah.
Oh, it's good.
100%. Okay. What else I can think of a record? Should I get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it.
Well, how about this half of my shirt right here?
Yeah, Beartooth. We can talk about Beartooth.
We should. I mean, Caleb, who I mean, I don't know if he's still on Twitch right now, but he has got a record. I think it's done. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's exciting stuff because with Beartooth, I think all of their records have been very good. I really like their first album, and same. I thought that their third album was an improvement on the second.
Agreed. I think we're sitting right in the same spot there.
Yeah. And I think that this could be the album where they sort of start to figure out, okay, this is the kind of band we want to be.
And I hope they dial back a little bit to that first album sound. Just kind of the rawness and aggression that was on that is absolutely wild. And I think that would really lend to... they've got like this new fan base, right? And they've got this old fan base who's starting to kind of want to hear the heavier side of Caleb again. And I think they'll find a way to blend that and kind of make everybody happy.
Yeah, I definitely, we'll see, you know, Caleb's a genius. He's a very, very talented fellow. He's a hard worker and he's had a lot of time off, you know, because some of the last records, a lot of them were written kind of in between tours because they were going
and,
so hard.
They tour a lot.
Exactly. So I think I could see this being very well thought out. Not that the other records weren't, but I could see this one being even more that way. And also Ashi, the bass player, I know he's a very talented guy too. He was in a pop punk band called City Lights, out of City Ohio Lights. that did some great things. And he's, you know, kind of been given the keys, here and there, you know, and that's really exciting too, because I think that's a great collab. So yeah, I think this is going to be, This could be a very, very big record that could be, you know, on end of the year lists. It's got potential.
I think it's going to be really good. So I've got two records, kind of like with the last one, that are a little bit themed. And I think that these are the Back from the Dead bands that we're going to be getting.
Okay.
So these are bands that I've heard rumors of and seen Instagram of them possibly being in the studio, and everybody in the band says, hey, we're writing new music, and I'll believe it when I see it. But these are the two that I think are really likely and I am very excited for.
Okay.
First off, from France, Chuck No Captain Chunk.
Oh,
they have been on Fearless streams saying that they're together. They've got a new album coming out and being written. I wouldn't be surprised if this came out, and I'm very excited for it.
Well, I don't think that they broke up or anything, did they? They've just kind of been missing for a while. And it's funny, the first band you brought up was We Came As Romans. We toured with Chunk and We Came As Romans. And those guys are fun. Those are a fun band. I love all the like French references on their merch. Like you can count on them to have like a baguette on their on their shirts or something. So I mean I know this is like right in your wheelhouse, Mike, stylistically. I could definitely see it happening again with the quarantine, with a little bit of everyone being sidetracked. I think that tends to make bands maybe miss it a little more.
Yep. And going into why this band is also Back from the Dead, and speaking of that tour, The Color Morale.
Yeah. They're coming back?
I've seen Garrett post Instagram stories from the studio. I don't know if he's just doing more features. One or two of them, you can kind of see another band member or two in the background. They always said they were going on hiatus and that The Color Morale wasn't done. I'm just going on hiatus. I think after 2020 is a perfect time for this band. I didn't put them in my top 10 just because I'm cautiously optimistic, but if this record comes out, I'm probably going to cry because I love The Color Morale so much. And I think that it'll just be so good.
All right.
That band hasn't missed either, I don't think.
No. I know you're a big fan. Garrett, friend of the show. And a guy that, you know, cares a lot. So it'll be interesting to see them come back and hopefully it's a real thing. I really hope it happens. All right. What else?
All right. So I've just got two more on my short list. Starset. I think Starset is perfectly timed to drop a new album.
Yes. I love Starset.
They are so good. As not even just a concept band, right?
But they are a concept band for full on. Yeah.
Yeah. I think what makes them fun is that they have a concept, but they don't rely on that. Right. Like if you take any of their songs they're still a banger. You don't need to know that it's a concept band, but when you kind of put it all together, you're like, oh, the overarching themes throughout this entire album are really well done. And I think that's one of the things that makes me excited for this record.
Yeah, I mean, they're just wild band, you know. Just the whole concept, the whole space thing, the space suits, just the live shows. I've actually never seen the band live.
They're incredible.
I 100% I know. And Dustin and I have become, after we did a podcast a few years ago, 2.5 years ago, year and a half. I don't know when it was. It was a while ago, 2.5 years ago, maybe. You know, then we've just been friends, and I've really paid a lot of attention to what they've been doing. And I think that a lot of their singles, you know, they've been playing them on the radio and everything. They've just got
3 years or no, that album came out in 2019. Sorry. But yeah, it's, they're still getting play, which is kind of weird.
Yeah. They still are. And I think that they have a really great, they walk a really cool line between this mainstream, like, we're going to write these just banger, like, you know, I don't want to call them pop songs, but you know, the poppy side of rock, I guess, like rock, you know, rock and rock music. And they got all this mainstream appeal, but then those people are going to their shows and seeing like, wait a second, what did I get myself into? Like, this is a whole thing. Like, this, there's a star set universe here where like they're in character, and you know, it's a lot to take in.
They're a unique band too, and this is something that I love, but they are a little bit different live than they are on record. When you see them live, they're a little bit heavier. I don't know if they're changing the guitar tones a little bit. I know that Dustin screams a bit more when he's on stage, and just kind of like the raw emotion that these guys bring to the music that they're writing when it's in a live setting is just absolutely incredible, and I can't wait for this album. I think it's going to be so good.
Do you have a hot take for this one or not? You just never know what they're going to do.
Yeah, you never know. hot take, Starset's going to write a record about space.
All right, Mike. Well, I guess we're at the end of your list.
We got one more quick one. Architects. We got to talk about this album.
Architects. Yes.
Changing their sound quite drastically.
It seems like it. I mean, you know, maybe not the whole record will be a change of sound, but I kind of feel like it's going to be.
I think it is too, and I'm really excited for it because this is a band that I absolutely love. I think Sam Carter's one of the most talented vocalists in the scene. I think everybody in that band is probably the most talented one, not the most, but like top 10% in their position in the band. It was getting so repetitive for me, and I understand like you found a niche sound and it works, but I am really excited for this new album. I think Black Lungs and Animals are absolute bangers. I think the other new songs that I heard during their live streams are some of the best music that they've ever written. And I think that this album is just going to be an absolute monster, and I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, man. I agree. I don't really have too much to add. I mean, you just covered it right there. I think that their popularity kind of, it just grew. Like, they just exploded. I don't know when it was, when all of a sudden it just seemed like I woke up one day and they were playing arenas in the UK and it's great for them. You know, it's really exciting, but I think that it's taken them a minute to adjust to that to now where they're like, okay, we did that. We mastered that. Now what do we do? Like, now what do we want to do? And, you know, and everyone talks about obviously, you know, the death of their guitar player and how much that meant to them, to their fans and everything. You know, and they I think there was a period of time where it was important for them to honor his legacy, you know,
like I know that they similar to the whole Kyle thing, like they were able to get a lot of the stuff that he had written and use that within the album and things like
for sure. And I think that now, not to say that there's closure, because I don't think there ever will be.
No,
you can't use that word the right way. But I think now they're looking forward and they're just going to probably whoop our asses on this record. And I don't know. I mean, maybe it's like the single. They've only released one single, right, so far?
Two.
Okay, there's two. Okay, I've only heard the one.
Black Lungs is the second one, and then Animals is the first one.
Right, Animals is the one that I heard, yeah.
That like anvil hit. Like, oh, so cool.
And I mean, you never know, like maybe they will go you know, to some of their sound that we're familiar with mm-hmm. for some of the other tracks on the album. Who knows? But I yeah. could see it being, you know, similar to the singles, and which I'm okay with. I'm always for growth. I'm always for mm-hmm. expression, and I'm ready for this band to take over the world, because they definitely could.
For sure. And then I have one last hot take, and it's not about Architects, though.
Oh.
So, if Einstein Kills puts uh-huh. out a record next uh-huh. year, they are going to drastically step away from the horror element and do something entirely different.
Like what, though?
I don't know.
You know, it was...
But I think they're going to do something different.
Well, you know what's cool about them? And Spencer, you know, also a good friend of the show, mm-hmm. And a guy I just love to talk to, because he's just so
interesting.
Oh, and he is so well spoken. But he, you know, I remember when they put out the record, you know, where it was all the songs were like about different books.
Yep, every trick in the book.
Yeah, exactly. And they hadn't done, like, that was when they started to mm-hmm. get a little bit bigger, because they've been a band for so long. And then it was like everybody was expecting this. Well, you're the horror movie band. When are you going to write the album about horror movies? And then they did. Mm-hmm. And then it was huge. It was like so, you know, yeah. predictably massive. And it's and I'm not going to take away from how good that record is, too.
Oh, it's incredible.
But
where do you go?
But where do you go? It's true. Where do you go? How they're going to run out of horror movies to talk yep. about, right?
And they can't just beat that dead horse. Do you define yourself as the gimmick band? Or do you say, hey, we can actually do other things, too?
Right.
Like, right. I don't know.
But, you know, but I don't know. I wouldn't say they're the gimmick, but people,
no, definitely
I wouldn't
not,
say, I wouldn't, but. I don't like to throw the word gimmick around with them, because I always feel like that they have mm-hmm. a little more substance than that. And oh, 100%. But I do feel like their fans really do like the, you know, quote unquote gimmick.
Yeah. It's just a term that a lot of people throw around when
sure.
speaking about Ice Nine Kiss.
Sure. But what happened when Kiss took off the makeup? You know what I mean? Yeah. They inevitably put it back on. So I'm not sure. You're right, though. It's going to be very mm-hmm. interesting to see where they go, what they do. You know what I could see them doing?
What?
I could see them releasing a film.
Mm-hmm.
Like actually having
they're releasing with a graphic film. Novel right now.
Yeah, I could see them for an album, you know, releasing some kind of a film where they, you know, work with a director. They have maybe Spencer mm-hmm. starring in the film. I don't know, maybe not. Maybe they're all playing roles, and then their album is sort of like a soundtrack to that.
Yeah,
that way they're not just being an adaptation of, you know, previous released you know, art or literature. Mm-hmm. This is something that's original but based on something, and then they're kind of, you know, killing two birds with one stone, mm-hmm. and doing two things. This is just my hot take, because yep. I'm familiar enough with that band to kind of see, you know, where they might go.
Mm-hmm. And I 100% I think that would be good too. Like, I don't care where the band goes. I think they're talented enough that they can do whatever they want. I'm also not saying they're never going to come back to horror either. Like, there might be a time, like, not this album, not the next album, but the album after that, where it's time for Silver Scream 2, Electric Boogaloo. Like, let's do it. It just, I want the band to not feel restricted within this creative space. And I think that they're not going to let themselves do that.
Yeah. Mike, we did it.
We did it. We killed it. Rock and roll.
Thank you very much. And thanks to everybody for listening.
For sure. All this new shit, got a new whip, got some new ice, got some new drip. Got rid of my old trash, got a new bitch. All this new shit, all this new shit, all this new shit. Got a new whip, got some new ice, got some new drip. Got rid of my old trash, got a new bitch. All this new shit.